Xavier Coates out for months. We talk about what that means for the Storm. We look at the Titans. Are they as good as their trial form suggests? The World Club Challenge Broncos. Slow start again. What else we got, Steve?
Yeah, we've got some pretty cracking viewer questions, especially one from Elsie from Greenacre. We dive into some stuff around the Bulldogs. And then we've got some previews of the two games over in Vegas. A bit of a prediction there for each.
Mate, cannot wait. Let's get into it. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, it's Vegas Eve for you. How are you feeling?
It is, mate. Bloody excited. The bags are packed and we're one sleep away. I've just woken up from my afternoon kip. So ready to go, mate. We take off early tomorrow morning as this has been recorded. So, yeah, can't be much more excited about it. I'm just as excited to see the footy, truth be told. But, yeah, Vegas is one special place, so I'm ready to go.
I was watching the members only para panel thing, and they say they're almost certain to be going next year, so I'll have to be picking your brains to get all the details, mate.
Yeah, I can't wait for it, mate. I'm bloody excited for it. So it's good the way they've done it, mate. Everyone's has gotten a turn with the fan base, so yeah, I think it'll be one not to be missed.
All right, let's talk the elephant in the room. Your old man, he's coming hard on the socials, and he's talking up the Dragons' chances big time.
Yeah. God bless him, right? So I love the man and love the Dragons just as much as he does. But it wouldn't matter if they hadn't won a game for the last 10 years. He'd be absolutely morals to win the comp this year. So he is absolutely red and white through and through. Always has been, and always will be. So he'll certainly be. Barrick and putting them down to beat the Bulldogs this weekend and all the way to win the comp, mate. And you won't convince him otherwise, no how many times you put up a fight. I hope he's right, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, he loves the Dragons, mate.
Yeah, I picked that pretty early. I didn't try and convince him he was wrong. I just asked him to put his money where his mouth was and put his top 17, which he did, to his credit. And it's funny, it was much the same as mine, except for he just had one team, the Dragons, at sixth, which felt a little bit out of place. But, mate, I think we all at this time of year, as much as we might give our thoughts from our head, our hearts screaming, oh, surely with that lineup we can make the eight.
Yeah, well, you and I had a good chat about it at the start of this series, the off-season. I desperately wanted to put the Dragons in at that, you know, six or seven spot myself, and you did the same with Para. So you look at it, you hope. And I even did a little bit of going over a preview for the game, the Bulldogs Dragons game, and I just hope that the Dragons get there. Right, it's more of a hope than anything. You just got that young kid in your heart that hopes that your team gets up and wins, especially against an old time rival like the Bulldogs. So yeah, you won't get him to go against the Dragons, mate.
Good on him, mate. Love it. He's been good value too, boosting the engagement, which is always important for us to get in front of more people. Hope. I was watching the Para trial on Saturday with that same sort of thought. And after the first half, I was kind of a bit like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe we're not quite on the pace, because there were times where we looked really good with the ball. Some of those old defensive patterns coming back, and hopefully that's just trial rustiness, but it did dent some of my hope, shall I say.
Yeah, I think that Para was like similar to a few other teams. I think they showed that they got plenty of tomorrows. You know, when we saw some of these young guns and these reserve graders and jersey flag players get a go, some of them really impressed. Not ready today, not ready for tomorrow either, but they're not far off, and you saw that with Para especially. I thought some of those young players have got a bit of a future for them. So they're all not all going to kick on and make it, obviously, but you're better to have a few of those in your pathways than not. So Yeah, mate, they're building and they'll be there in the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know whether you've got some inside knowledge on this or not, but they looked tired, and to the point where Moses scored fairly early on under the posts, and he looked completely gassed. I've never seen him look like that. Did they ever have like a really heavy training load heading into that a couple of weeks before? It was almost like they trained really hard the day before or even on the morning of.
Yeah, it keeps on changing. The as we get more science into the game, those training loads are different. They'll have big blocks even throughout the year at different times, depending on where the teams are coming, whether they look like they're going to make the semis, how many Origin players they've got, etc. So, that training load and training block, I'm not sure about Para and what they've done recently, but definitely there's sometimes throughout the season, pre-season and during, as I said, that they'll go for 2 or 3 weeks where it'll be pretty high level and intense. So look, that's just part of being a professional athlete. That's why all the science, they reckon that's the biggest growth in the clubs over the last few years, just that science background. So whether it's the training and the technology, etc., for it, that's been the biggest growth in the game. So I'm pretty sure someone like Moses, especially, he would have, coming off the back of an Ashes, even though he didn't get much game time, he was over there, I would have thought he would have started the preseason pretty late. So they'd still be getting some legs. You know, he did the laps at half time. I don't know whether you saw that as well. So yeah. I reckon, without knowing, to me that seems like he just didn't get as many kilometres on the GPS tracker up as what they wanted him to. So they sent him back out there to run some more at half time. But, it's hard to say. Every club does it a little bit differently, mate.
Yeah, I remember hearing the first time I sort of heard that concept was when the Sharks, when they won the premiership that year, they hit the wall. I think did they lose 7 in a row or something like that before they come back and fight up for the finals? And that was the story coming out later after the fact that they really amped up, almost like had a second pre-season to make sure they're going to be ripe and ready. So, yeah, interesting, really interesting. Okay, let's get into some footy. You've given me a bit of a guide on best talking points for the weekend. And interesting one is this Coates injury, which the initial reports was likely 3 months. This puts more pressure on the Storm. I can see a settlement. Obviously, not before we play them in round one, but a settlement with Para where they find something that gets that deal across the line, because the need is now almost desperation, surely.
Yeah, 100%. I think before this, Lomax looked like a nice to have. They had a pretty set back five. Obviously, Suofalongo hasn't been proven, though he's been in the system a long time, as a bit of protection for him, but now it looks like it's almost a must-have if Storm are going to go. You think that they've lost Essie Katoa. There's some talk around Sean Blaw having a show cause notice from the NRL committee as well. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get back to Sydney. Obviously, Nelson's gone. There's a bit of word. Hughes is not 100%. So all of a sudden, having someone like Lomax in your side would be a huge, huge tick in the box, right? So not to say that they're still not going to perform strongly without Lomax. To have him there would be big. So I think it becomes, to your point, not a nice to have. I think they've got to really push for it now and try and get him into the club.
Yeah, I think that's a good win for Para on the bargaining table as well. So I can't see that going to court. But anyway, we will see. Now on the Storm, they didn't have their full lineup, but they had a fair few of their stars in. How good are the Titans, do you think?
Well, it's a bloody interesting one. So, even us, we had the Titans fairly well down our predicted finishing line, finishing for the season. But what we're seeing with the Titans, they've come out and played a different style. So it's one thing to say it's only a trial, don't get too excited or don't get too down in the dumps over it. But what we noticed with the Titans were that they started to play this grinding style of footy in the middle of the park, a bit more of an arm wrestle style. We know that they've got those players when they get down the other end of the field that can put on points. So it's a credit to Henne on the way he's been able to come in and change their sort of the way their style of play. So it's a lot more grinding. Apparently during their off season that they worked a lot on in between the 20s. So they took out their goal line defence and they took out their attacking when they're in the opposition red zone and really just dialed into that arm wrestle style of play. And that's what we've seen. So look, I can't see them winning the comp or making the eight either. But the improvements that he's put in and the way that they're going to play, if they can hang tight and trust the process, you talk about Paris defence, trust in Riles' new system. If they can trust Henne, and all signs early with Tino re-signing, etc., by signing instead of going to the Storm, it looks like he has started to get a little bit of faith early with them. If he can, they can continue to buy in. They're going to cause a couple of headaches, especially at home. They play in that dry paddock here on the Gold Coast. On you know, they usually get that Saturday afternoon game because they don't draw too many viewers on TV. So they could cause a couple of upsets. Again, I can't see them making the semis, but good on them for doing what they're doing. But we spoke about their changes with the front office, etc., during our preseason review. It's positive signs for them, mate.
It is. We've seen teams before bounce back and have good trial form and only for it to be shown up. So it would be interesting to see once the pressure's on, do they fully trust the system? Because it's one preseason and there's not too many coaches that come in and get instant success unless they've got the roster already there. But given it's another rebuild, I mean, it's another one of those teams you hope do well, just not too well. Just don't want to finish above our teams, do we?
Yeah, no, as I said, mate, I can't see him knocking off the big guns, but it's just a promising sign for a club who's always struggled and probably should have done better than what they have over the years. Hopefully playing a little bit more effort-based footy and then letting the spark go at the end of the down the other end of the field could be a positive sign for him.
Yeah, absolutely. The World Cup Club Challenge, which is now going on, 5 days ago, do you reckon the boys went over and maybe enjoyed the trip a bit too much?
Well, the way they started, you'd think yes, but everything coming out of the coach's mouth, I don't think he was real happy about it. So I don't know whether he would have let them do that, mate, truth be told.
No.
They were gung-ho about trying to win this. You saw that with Haas playing 80. So they lost Jensen early. Admittedly, but they still had plenty of coverage for middle forward. So to push Haas 80 minutes, it's an interesting, little by story around what they're going to do with Haas going to South next year. Are they absolutely going to annihilate him and run him 80 minutes all the way through or not? Because these early signs indicate that Madge wanted to win this and he's a pretty competitive bugger, so they say. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Haas. Because if they are going to run him 80 minutes all the way through, he's obviously going to play big minutes in Origin, regardless of who's up front with him for the Blues. So come the end of the year when they really need him to have a spark and a spring in his step, if he's played 80 the whole time, I don't know whether that's the right way to go.
Time will tell. That's just the whole thing. Like, they've put posts out, the boys, about it's the last dance and all those sorts of things, but it will be really interesting how it goes mentally, whether it, they start questioning, because it's happened before with Madge's teams. I mean, this could be something completely different and irrelevant, and we could be buying way too much into it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see just from a mental perspective how they manage the process, because while we both said we think they'll hit the ground running, if they don't, the pressure might build quick. Well, will build quickly. Yeah. It's gonna be one of those interesting case studies to watch for the year. Definitely.
Yeah. How do you see the mental? You talk about the mental approach, mate. With your background, they've clearly got a problem with the way they start games. So whether their pre-game routine with their warm-up, their pre-game talk, how they're getting to games, etc., there's clearly something's not right, because it's one thing for it to happen once or twice, but they're on a stretch now. It's starting to become a habit where they're not starting games quickly and they're coming over the top and winning. Now, they would have won the game against the Pommy side if had it gone for another 10 or 15 minutes, right? They were coming over the top in a wave. But that can't happen week in, week out for the rest of the year. It's just too draining on a team to always be catching someone, and they simply won't win the comp if they're going to play that football. So what do you see they're missing from that that the way they start a game just isn't right to me.
Not necessarily missing, but from everything I've learned from my own experience and just lots of reading, there's usually one or two players that are the barometer for everyone's energy. And it's not always the person, like a Gutho, for example, who is all energy and he's running. It's more that one that is that connector. Someone like Munster, for example, usually a little bit of a cheeky bugger, but it also comes with some emotional intelligence, some ability to unite and connect a team. And if whoever that is for them is not quite there, then that can just flow through the whole team really quickly. And if it's become a pattern for those one or two or three people, then the pattern needs to be broken. I don't know if you remember from your playing days, but I can remember seeing it. Like, I was one of those players where I'd be like, man, why are we so flat today? And then thinking, shit, actually, it's me that's flat. I'm quiet. I'm not getting into the game. I just got to change it. But I've also seen it in a negative perspective flow through a team when someone's tossing their toys, or like it is amazing how quickly that sort of energy, good or bad, can sweep through a team, right?
Yeah, that's a good shout, mate. Whatever it is, or whoever it is in that example, they need to identify it fairly quickly, because they're going to come over the top of the weaker sides and it won't be a problem. They'd probably even come over some of the stronger sides, but to do it all year and you're always chasing, it grind mentally must be enormous. So hopefully they can identify it for the Broncos fans, mate.
Absolutely. You mentioned some good signs from Para in the second half with their youngsters and their really good depth. Something that I really enjoyed was seeing Sam Walker like well and truly back and dominant. He's got the old fella next to him, but yep, that was good to see, because he's had that many injuries.
Yeah,
but he looked like he's primed for a big year.
Yeah, they're some of those ones. It doesn't matter who they play for or what they've done in the game. It's just a good news story. You've seen him battle through the injuries. He plays that exciting brand of footy, so everyone wants him to do well. So yeah, look, trial or not, he looked free and he looked in up to his best, right? So good on DCE. You know, we took a bit of a crack at old DCE during the season wrap a few weeks back, but he went out and said he's going to play Robin, he's going to play backup, and you know, he certainly did. Again, only game one. It'll be interesting to see when the whips are cracking and the big time hits, but he certainly did take a back seat and Walker took over, mate. So it was really good to see, yeah. And to your point, to see him come back after that injury was pretty cool. So hopefully gets a full year into him, mate, and anything could happen for the Roosters. Absolutely. With Walker firing.
Absolutely. Yeah, DC had to park the ego and play a role. I think part of him might have enjoyed that. You think about the pressure he's been under at Manly. He always comes and goes to a next level in Queensland where he doesn't have to be. He's got to be dominant, but he doesn't have to be the star that does everything. So, yeah, he may well thrive once he falls into that role. What else did you see over the trials of the weekend that you liked?
Oh, look, it was a bit of an extension over from the first week. There's obviously teams that don't put too much weight into the trials, like the Raiders, so it's almost impossible to get any gauge out of them. I thought the Cowboys, again, admittedly against another reserve grade side, they had two really good trials. They didn't play this week just gone, but they had two really good trials where they just looked upbeat and full of energy. You know, they're the sort of things that I think are good for trials. You know, how everyone's defending with each other, if everyone's upbeat, positive, you know, that are ready to go, and then you look for the young fellas. So I thought Parramatta probably had one of the better crops of young fellas coming through. The Tigers have certainly unearthed one in Macassini.
Oh, you know, not wow. To,
yeah, that try, you know, everyone says you shouldn't compare young fellas, but that even had a bit of Jonah Lomu to it, that try that he scored.
I've watched it that many times. My young fella was like showing me, he goes, man, I got goosebumps watching this. Like, it was just next level. Even just at the start of it, like, just Luai looked sharp. He sort of turned Cleary inside out. And then Macassini just, like, bulldozing.
It
reminded me of Mike Acevo a couple of years ago, except with more speed, more agility, and speed. Like, man, I don't remember being this excited about a young player for a while.
Yeah, he certainly looked good, you know, and he likes the contact too, you know. That's what you got to look for a young fella. You know, a lot of them want to push these young fellas in too early, and it's that physicality and that contact that you worry about. It's like Swalehi come in 18 months ago. They were all worried about him. He was first carry. He was just bang. He's up to playing first grade. Well, Makaseni to me looks the same. He's defense and attack. He was right for contact. Now, there's obviously a lot for him to learn and a lot for him to get better at, but certainly from a physicality point of view, he looked real good. So, look, there's a lot of exciting things, mate. You can pick the eyes out of a lot of different teams. I got more out of, you know, the reserve graders and the Jersey Flag players coming up and having a crack than I did in some of the old fellas. They would just get minutes in their legs. So hopefully we get to see some of them throughout the season, mate. But it's really good to be able to watch all the trials. You know, in years gone by, you'd never be able to see them. So to be able to watch every one of them, start to see what your club's got coming through, some of the exciting juniors, it's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely it is. Do we see the Bunnies flogging of Manly confirmation of your belief that they're the shoe-ins for the spoon?
I'd love to say yes, mate. I can't wait. Oh, look, yes and no, mate. That's one of those ones where Manly didn't look good at all, truth be told. And, you know, South did look pretty good. So they had a lot of their stars, especially play that first stint. And you could tell weren't going gangbusters, but did their job. So they look fit, they look firing and ready to go. I guess for Manly, I don't know where it goes, mate. Yeah, look, they've obviously still got a few to come back. They weren't playing their out and out best side, but that Joey Walsh already looks like he's you know, going to live up to some of the expectations. I know we had a bit of a disagreement about Luke Brooks a couple of weeks ago, and I had a few supporters on socials, but don't be surprised if Walsh gets into first grade a lot quicker than expected. So, yeah, I think that trial, while it isn't concrete, just showed us on both teams that South should be in for a fairly good year, and Manly are gonna struggle, mate, especially if Turbo doesn't play a full season.
Absolutely. Puts a heap of pressure on those two Manly halves too. This kid looks like he's going to be being demanded to be picked. It'll be very interesting. And as soon as it starts going bad, you don't reckon the Manly fans won't be into him? Do you remember the ovation he got for his first grade game? It was like the second coming of Jesus or something. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'd want to be a rookie half, no matter how good I was playing behind that pack for the year. But first grade's first grade, right? So hopefully he's getting plenty of development and all that. But yeah, he's certainly got the fans at Brookvale behind him. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. All right, some listener questions before we hit the predictions for our two Vegas games. We've got some questions, some good questions too. Port Macquarie Paul, what impact would an injury to Burton have on the Bulldogs this season? That is a very good question. I think actually that could be a blessing in some ways, because I'm not sure they, a bit like what we just talked about with Manly, I'm not sure they're completely sold on who their spine is. I did see someone comment on another post. I can't remember where it was now, but he was saying, I don't get the hype around the Bulldogs when they've got an untried spine, because it's new hooker. I know Haywood played a bit there last year. New look halves. Plenty of potential upside, but, it will be very interesting. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm the same. Look, they've kept this injury from Burton pretty close to their chest. We don't even know whether he'll play in Vegas or not. He obviously went off showering with ice straight away from the trial match. So it'll be interesting to see. But look, I'm with you. I still don't see how Galvin and Burton play in the halves with each other. To me, they're both sixes. Truth be told, I think Burton's more of a centre than a six as it is. So I don't think that... you know, look, I'm with you. If he did get injured, he was off for a couple of weeks. Sean O'Sullivan come in, played that genuine seven role to free Galvin up. And then, you know, Burton come back in at either one or in the centres, and Cherry went to wing. They look stronger to me. They look more settled. They look how a team should be. There just doesn't seem to be one guy with the steering wheel in his hands, and Burton, I think, is the odd man out if they're going to go with the direction they seem to. So I'm with you. I think if he is injured and he misses three or four rounds, I think it could be a blessing in disguise, because while Sean O'Sullivan didn't play a lot of first grade with the Dolphins last year, he spent a lot of time with the beloved Devs. He's exactly what they need, right? That cool head, kicks well, directs traffic well. So it'll be interesting to see, mate. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't see it going to be a massive input. They want him back because he's a bloody good footballer, but yeah. I don't think they want him back at six.
Yeah, the problem is it's like Lock and 5'8 aren't as similar as they were 20 years ago. Centre, yeah, probably a good fit, but do they want to be paying that much for a centre? But like, he's probably not quite big enough to play back row, is he? I don't know. Is he? They've got enough guys out there anyway. Like, it'd be interesting. Like, where does it go? Like, I just don't understand how they fit them all in.
No, even as late as today, Gus is saying that he's had been approached by the Bears over in Perth, and they've turned them down for Burton. I still think it's a smokescreen. I still think Burton will go to Perth. I think that's his genuinely his only option. If he wants to stay on the big money, I don't think he's going to play in the halves and at any other club. So I think it's Perth for him. But, you know, I think Gus, you can't trust what Gus is good. As much as I love Gus, you can't trust what he says in the media, right? So, yeah, I still think that's where it'll end anyway.
Yeah, no, he's got too many examples of him blatantly calling something and it being the complete opposite. So, yeah, we can lock it in. He's going to the Bears.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Next question. Cowboy Dan, can the Cowboys get off to a flyer and save their coach's job? He's spot on, mate, because if they don't get off to a flyer, it is the coach's job.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if Dan's related.
Dotty.
Poor old Peyton. Yeah, look, mate, I actually had a look into this when I saw the questions. Their opening stretch is pretty bloody good for them. So they've got the Knights in Vegas, Tigers away, Titans at home, Storm home, Dragons away, Broncos away, Manly at home. So genuinely, I can probably see them potentially winning 5 out of 7. Now, they may get to those 7 and only won 2. That's when they're in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. That's when the alarm bells are ringing. But I could genuinely see them winning 5 out of those 7 or at least going bloody close. So that they could get off to, not necessarily a flyer, but they could get off to a solid enough start that'll see him get through. So if Cowboy Dan wants me to put him out there, I'd probably say that on the back of that start, he gets through to the end of the season. But if they don't win, you know, 5 of those 7 against, you've got to think, Knights, Tigers, Titans, Manly, and my old man will hate saying it, potentially the Dragons, they're winnable games for the Cowboys, and he'd be looking at them. If he doesn't win those games, though, then we're going to be right. They're going to finish second last, where we've predicted them. Well, we've got them finish. I had them finishing 13th. So if they don't win them, they're probably going to be below 13. So I got them winning at least 4 out of those 7. There you go. There you go, Dan. How do you see it, mate?
I'm not that confident. There were just too many defensive frailties last year. You couldn't. There wasn't enough games where you could get a good read on how competitive they were, because they just defended so badly, and they were almost beaten in the first 20 minutes in a number of games, and then it's almost game over. They fought back a few times, but I don't know. We talked about this, I think, when we did the Cowboys. We talk about sometimes you just, a group needs a different voice, or the coach just needs a change of scenery as well, and I could see that, because we saw what Peyton did with the Warriors. I love that. Like, he had them absolutely firing. I can see him getting another job. I just can't see how they bounce back. But I hope for Cowboy Dan's sake that they show something.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And there's been a few rumblings of player upset at different times over his reign up there as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see. If they go on.
Yeah, I think with that early draw, you're going to know. You're going to know 2 months in. So you're going to know by Origin whether Peyton's going to make the end of the season or not. Because those 7 weeks, if he doesn't get off the off to a flyer, or he doesn't get a few of those wins in the bank to try and hold points with a couple of buys in there to make it look a little bit better for him, then the alarm bells will be ringing. So you're going to know early on him anyway, let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Elise from Greenacre, why is everyone so high on the Bulldogs? I knew I read this somewhere when the spine is unproven. Sorry, Elise, I stole your question before.
Yeah. Elsie from Greenacre.
Oh, Elsie.
Mustn't be a Bulldog fan, even though living in Greenacre. I got to say the same, mate. I had them run at 11th in on our preseason. You think, you know, Connor Tracy reminds me a lot of Will Kennedy over at the Sharks. Poor old Kennedy seems to cop the bad press and Tracy doesn't. I don't see much difference in either of them.
No.
And then we just mentioned Burton and Galvin. I think they're both sixes. Haywood is genuinely unproven. You know, he played a lot of 14. We had the issue the back end of last year where he started to come in and play a bit of nine. But they're 110% unproven, and I'm not quite sure why they're so high on them. And then you talk about their backups. Kurt Mann's going to play utility. You know, he's a jack of all trades, master of none. Mitch Wood looks like he's got some ability, but he's still only a young fella. And then Sean O'Sullivan could come in and play seven like we've spoken about, and probably I see him as their best seven. But I'm 100% with Elsie. Their best player, or their best strike player, is playing in the centres is Crichton. I don't see them. They're going to win a lot of games on the back of their defence. They're going to grind teams away and score points late in games. But I'm with him. That's why I can't see them in the comp. This is the first time Gus has put a squad together where he hasn't had a gun spine. You know, if you look to the Roosters and then Penrith, he's gone into those clubs and had a gun spine and then built around. With the Bulldogs, he seemed to have built the body first with those gun centres, gun back rowers, you know, big outside fast backs, and now he's trying to deal with the spine. It's an unusual way for him to go, but I'm with Elsie. I'm not high on the Bulldog spine at all, and that's why they won't make the semis for mine.
Strong. Yeah. Did you mention Tracy and Kennedy? Tracy couldn't force his way into the team when Kennedy was playing fullback. And at the moment, there's no inkling they're going to resign Kennedy. They've talked about it for a while now, whether he's not on their radar to stay at the Sharks. And, I guess the hope is, like we mentioned when we talked Bulldogs, is does Cade Dykes come in and absolutely brain him? So maybe he's banking on that longer-term vision, because there's certainly a heap of young guys who can fill those holes. But, yeah, in terms of 2026, can't see it. Haywood, tough as, no doubt. But is he going to be able to provide the service and consistency that they need to be a top four team? Again, it's just so many unknowns, and the six and sevens, like,
don't know. Well, even Galvin, mate, he's had a good 18 months in NRL, no question. But once again, it's potential, right? Haywood could become, Dykes could become, Mitch Wood could become. So you know they. Who knows what'll happen in you know 2 years' time, 3 years' time, what the side will look like. But I'm with Elsie from Greenacre. I'm not high on them right now for this year, and that's why their defence will get them over the line on a number of games. Not to jump ahead to our game previews, but I think the defence will get them headed into the Dragons. But they're not going to make the semis, mate. I'm as convinced on that as I am Manly winning the spoon.
Oh, wow. That's big. Leo Thompson injury, which we didn't know about when we did the Dogs preview, that's going to have a massive impact, because we talked about how towards the end of the year their forward pack just started going backwards. Yeah, they might be another one of those teams that find it tough going early on. I guess the only upside is they do have the Dragons first round, so they should be...
Come on, mate. Come on now.
They should be fine for 2 points in Vegas. But let's get to our predictions and preview for the Vegas game. So when they looked at Cowboys Knights, I think they probably were looking at who are the fans that are going to travel, because both of those teams already, like, they've got a long track record of traveling everywhere. I imagine they've got a fair few of them over to Vegas as well. Well, I reckon this should be a good game. We look at the two the form line in trials, which we know is not always a good reflection. They're almost complete opposite. But in saying that, Knights, new coach, there's plenty to like in their back line. Maybe a bit of a battle in the forwards. But if the Cowboys aren't on, yeah, I don't know. This could be very interesting.
Mm. Yeah, look, I've got it the same. I got the Cowboys. I'll be coming out on front, mate. As I said early, while admittedly it was against a couple of reserve grade sides, they just looked fit and enthusiastic. If I think back a couple of years ago, I think it was Peyton's second year, you had them super fit. They were raring to go and they just played good grinding footy and then let the Drinkwaters and the Deardens down the other end score points. So, you know, for them to keep going with that, it'll be interesting. You know, a lot of people will say the Knights are only a step off a reserve grade side, which is pretty harsh but fair, I'd say. So it'll be interesting to see. The Cowboys really did come up, call it fair or unfair, they really did come up against two reserve grade sides, so they haven't had a proper hit out. But then you talk about the Knights, as you said, it's the unknown. So their spine right now, I'm sure they know. I hope they know. But who's going to play? Who's going to play in the halves for them? Their edges are still unsure. You know, there's a bit of unknown about their back row. You know, their front row, Trey Mooney by himself sort of thing. So I just can't see the Knights being there to be able to turn it on with all these unknowns. You know, obviously Brown got a good workout this last trial that they played. But, yeah, I just don't know whether Mooney by himself's going to be able to make the ground to give the backs the room to be able to score points. So I think it's going to need to come off some individual brilliance from Brown or Ponga, maybe a Best this early in the season. I think the Knights are going to be a slow burn. If they do get there at all, they're going to be a slow burn towards the back end of the season where they might start to get, you know, get their spine together and get them rolling, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard one of the players who played in Vegas last year said it's in terms of just how much is going on in and around the game leading up to the game is the closest to a grand final week because there's just so many different commitments. So that would say that the Cowboys have got more experience in that sort of big games. They've got some Origin players. But there's plenty of stories of young teams getting up for one game because of the occasion. So it wouldn't surprise if some of those young guys come out and just have an absolute blinder. But that's just me clinging to hope for the Knights fans. I can't see it. I think the Cowboys will probably win and win well because they're just gonna be late. Back and up front, as you said, and too many unknowns. Yeah. Oh, I think they are set on their spine. I think they're going to play Fletcher Sharp at fullback and Sanders Smith at seven, Brown at six. And
what about Ponga?
And, Ponga at one, sorry. Yeah, Sharp on the wing. And
Sharp on the wing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what's his name? You've thrown me now, the hooker.
Sorry, but the hooker, yeah, Phoenix Crossland. I think you're right, don't get me wrong for a second, but even with Sharp on the wing, you're talking about Marzu and Dong Young. Now, Marzu didn't play tremendously well in the last trial, but they're still two really solid, strong wingers. So it's just another one of those things that somewhere along the line just doesn't add up, right? So we'll wait and see what side they run out with, but either way, she's going to be an interesting call. I just see the Cowboys just having a little bit too much for him from what we've seen so far, mate.
Yep. Marju wouldn't be surprised if he's not there because he's defensively, he's had some fairly significant issues in the past. So he offers plenty with the ball, but just depends which way the coach is going, I guess. All right. The other game. Now, can you come with a little bit of unbiased view on this one, or are you just, you're in Vegas, you're watching your Mighty Dragons, you're all in on them?
Yeah. No, I will be unbiased now, but rest assured I'll have my St. George jersey on and a schooner of whatever they're serving over there in my hand, and I won't be unbiased then. Okay, I can tell you that. So get all your questions out now if you want me to be 50-50, mate.
Oh, very good. If you're going to get them at any time, first game of the season is not the worst one. Flanagan knows how to get get teams up physically. Oh, I think this will be a cracker. Actually, I think it'll be a tough, bruising game, and maybe not a heap of points. Yeah, I think this is going to be a real good opening to the season.
Yeah, mate, you're reading my notes. It's exactly what I got. I think it'll be a low scoring game. You know, either team will only win by a try or two, I think. You know, I think just with the Bulldogs' defence, I don't know whether our halves have probably got the creativity at right now at the moment to try and split them. Mm. You know, it hasn't. Everyone's always talked about the skinnier field in Vegas, but the points have usually flowed fairly well. There's just that little bit skinnier field. Our halves are still getting to know each other, let alone the team around them. And that defence from the Bulldogs, regardless of whether they've got the spine to score points and all those sort of things, you know, they've shown they're one of, if not the best defensive teams in the comp. And there's no doubt they would have spent the whole off-season on defence again to make sure that they're really dialed in. You know, defence wins comps at the end. So I'm not giving up hope, to your point, with the Dragons. In those low, you know, Flano loves playing that scrappy, come down to our level, let's get down dirty and play some footy. So in those sort of games, anything can happen. You know, you get a little bit of brilliance from a Valentine Holmes or a Moses Suli who can just score a try, and then all of a sudden you're on a roll. But, yeah, look, I've probably got the Bulldogs ahead on a very skinny margin, a low-scoring game here, bud.
Yeah, I can't find an upset either. I still keep coming back to the Dragons' halves. That's what I was thinking about your dad's call on them coming sixth. I just can't see how the guys they've got there are going to find enough consistency and enough creativity to score enough points to be in that mix. And I see this weekend is no different. Like I said, still think it'll be tight, but I think it'll be tight more because both teams will struggle a bit. I'm with you. Bulldogs' defence is very good. Dragons at times last year was as well. It could be a fairly grinding affair, but there's enough talent, as you said, enough magic in both teams for there'd be plenty of highlights reels as well. So, mate, I'm excited. I'll be sitting on the couch 20,000 k's away. Mate, you're going to be there in the stadium. You must be absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, can't wait, mate, especially to have the Dragons play, to be able to watch them run out. It'll be a big thing. We're going to head to the player or fan night that they have at Fremont Street, watch some of the Fox Sports shows, see the players. That's a night or two before the game, and then be there on the game. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of other Aussies around, a random South guy for sure, to get and have a beer with and a good laugh. So, yeah, can't wait for it, mate. Very excited.
Yeah, to me, actually, that was the bit that excited me more than the actual game over there, was just that whole fan experience. It looked like such a great atmosphere. There was such a buzz. People were just all happy, both sets of fans together, having the time of their life. Yeah, mate, you will have a good week.
Yeah, can't
That's my tip for Vegas, Steve, to be best on ground.
Your tip. I've just heard that Garlo's pies have sent 50,000 pies out of you. Have you heard about this?
No.
So our good mate, the Dazzler, I'm surprised he's not making the trip over just for that. So, yeah, 50,000 Garlo's pies. So apparently Sean Garlick's heading over and they're doing some big promotion and an event with the NRL. So...
Please do get a photo of you smashing a Garlo's pie for the socials, mate.
Okay, will do, mate, will do.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's finally here. Mate, have your best time. We'll see if we can jump on and record something while you're there, either before or after the game. Otherwise, we'll be back next week and every week, getting everyone ready for the weekend that is the NRL.
Can't wait for it, Hawk.
Cheers, mate. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.